This podcast contains explicit material. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, and welcome to the mini episode of The Joy of Text, a podcast about Judaism and sexuality. In this podcast, we will be discussing a text with Rabbi Linzer about halacha and sexuality.
Thank you, Rami. The text we're going to do tonight is actually one that you requested, and it's from a letter from the stipler, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, who was one of the great Talmidei Chachamim of the last generation in Bnei Brak. And he wrote this letter, which was, at first I think it was published, printed anonymously, but it was known that he had written it, and it was to the yeshiva bachrim in the Litvak world, the Lithuanian world, and it was responding to an asceticism that he was seeing that was being influenced from perhaps certain Hasidic sects that he thought was contrary to halacha. And this letter was talking about what the real obligation of the mitzvah of ona, sex between husband and wife, is, how that's not just about the simple act of intercourse, how that's also about other forms of touch and of intimacy, and that it's not something to be rushed through, and that we should not adopt chumras of asceticism when there are other people that it's affecting. So we're going to read a little piece of this, and here we go. So he says, b'chiyuv ona, regarding the obligation of marital sex. Kol kiruv chibuk, all types of touch and intimacy are included, not just intercourse. V'nishuk, and kissing and touching and so on. Ha'ona hi mitzvah tase d'oraita, ona is a biblical mitzvah. Ke'achilat matzah, no different than any other biblical mitzvah, like eating matzah. V'hamevat la bizman ibura, and somebody that figures, well, maybe I shouldn't bother doing it because my wife is pregnant, so it won't lead to having any children. If his wife did not honestly and deeply say that she's not interested and doesn't want to have sex now, if she's only saying yes because he's basically pressuring her or something. So somebody who, for this reason or any other reason, is not having sex with his wife when he's obligated to, he is a full sinner. And this is one of the sins that are between people. Shafilu Yom HaKippurim, that even Yom Kippur, Umita Eina Mechaperet, and death don't atone for, because it's not just between you and God, it's between you and another person. Varehu Kigazlan Vishodeid, and he's like a thief and somebody who despoils. Shegozel Meishto Mash Muchuyavla, he's stealing from his wife something that he's obligated to give her. And it's a type of murdering of the wife, which is known that the primary longing of a woman or hope of a woman in her world, that she should have a husband who loves her. And when she feels he's just like rushing through sex or he's not having sex with me, she'll feel unloved and my husband doesn't love me. Kim'at karov lipikuach nefesh. It's almost virtually like her life is at risk. Meirov tsar v'yagon al heyota gamuda kamanot chayot. The tremendous anguish that she has, she's feeling like a widow whose husband is alive, unloved by her husband. So it's a very packed text. I'll just share one or two reflections, and I really would love to hear your thoughts. So mostly it's like, wow, that's amazing. It's somebody, you know, like the head of a huge yeshiva and from a Haredi, you know, in Israel, which should be known that, you know, yeshivish Haredism is even more conservative and small c conservative and extreme than its manifestations here in the States. And is still writing about sex, which is a sensual act, and how important it is to own that as something not to be minimized, but something that has to be really understand what the obligation is. At the same time, there are some things that I think are powerful and maybe a little ironic, like, oh, it's just no less than eating matzah. So it's like, no less. Some people say, well, obviously, it's like, I mean, it's more. It's about their whole marital life, and it's about another person, and so on. But for some people, no. They downplay obligations between people or obligations that deal with pleasure, and it needs to be reframed as don't think of this as anything less than the mitzvah of eating matzah. And I find that that's very powerful because often when you're trying to find a way, let's say, as a rabbi, to help a couple in terms of some issue with their sexual life, whether it's Hilchos Nida or whether it's some of the laws or chumras around marital sex, so often it's like, well, how are you so lenient if the dominant sources say X, right? This is sometimes a response that I get about various things. And my response is, why should we be strict for chumras and be lenient for this biblical mitzvah of marital sex? That's the primary thing. Like, you wouldn't adopt some chumras that would compromise your ability to really fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. So why are you adopting chumras that are compromising your ability to really fulfill the mitzvah of onan, doing marital sex in the right way? So I just feel that that's very powerful in terms of that. And at the same time, I do think that some of this about, for the woman, it's all about love, and that not having sex makes her feel unloved, I think that's very true, but it doesn't fully acknowledge the woman as a sexual being, and that not having sex is also in itself a problem for the woman. So a lot of different thoughts.
So I think that when he describes that about sex not just being about the physical activity but love, I think he does an incredibly powerful job, and I would say it's true about both of them. And I think that that's a message I'm always trying to get through to people, that sex just isn't about sex. Sex isn't about what happens in that bedroom. Sex is about the entire tenor of that relationship. Sex is about feeling wanted. And when there's a partner who doesn't have desire for the other partner, be it the woman or the man, the sense of loss and the sense of the way that the partner feels bereft, to not be wanted by your partner, I feel is probably the most hurtful thing. It just feels like sex is something you do with somebody else where you allow the other person into your soul and into your being in a way that you don't allow anybody else. And when that partner doesn't want that, you feel not wanted. And that feeling of not being wanted, not being loved or needed or desired in the deepest recesses of your soul, that is what's so painful. And so I think he does an incredible job in that passage describing that. I mean, I've thought that other times too. I know he puts it all on the wife, but I feel like I see it with the wives who don't have much, you know, have low desire, and the husbands who are walking around feeling unwanted. And that's how they explained it to me as well. The sense of just black aloneness, that I'm just not wanted and desired. And I think that we have to keep that in mind. And when we talk about sex, that we're not talking about an act that happens in a bedroom. We're talking about the deepest center core of a relationship.
I agree. I don't read it as putting it on the wife. I think that this is actually one of my favorite texts to teach in college classes, which is why I specifically asked if we can cover it. I think that it's kind of one of these really empowering examples of being able to say, you know, with Kallahs, I feel like half the battle is getting them to understand that the rabbis are open about sex and they talk about sex, and that's a really good thing. These aren't rabbis who are shutting sex out and can't relate. And this, to me, is this amazing text that just shows how rabbis do talk about sex and they do relate to it. And it feels to me like the stipler is kind of like talking about a subject but reading the room. He's talking about sex, but he's doing it in a language that is accessible to the people who he's talking to. So maybe he does have to say to these people reading it, which are presumably men, Yom Kippur can't atone if you deprive your wife of this. That is a huge thing to say. Yom Kippur can't atone if you are not satisfying your wife. And to say the thing about it's the same as eating matzah, like, it feels to me like he has such a grasp on who his audience is and is kind of relating this idea of sexuality to that group. And I also find incredibly empowering about this just the idea of female sexuality being on the forefront. I am so empowered by texts where rabbis are just talking about female sexuality, because I think that the stigma against religion is that we don't talk about sexuality, let alone female sexuality. So any source that kind of highlights the idea that rabbis actually relate to it and talk about it and view it as something so important that even Yom Kippur can't atone for it, and if you take it away from your wife, you're like a thief, to me that is just a perfect source that shows rabbis get it, they can relate to it, and they value it, and it makes it so accessible to the people you're teaching it to, because they get you, they want you to have a positive sexual experience, and now approach this text kind of open to what they have to say. Don't assume that they don't get it and kind of shut the whole system out. So I love
this
source.
Really great.
That piece about Yom Kippur can't atone for it is so unique, and we keep using the word powerful, but it really is powerful, because, you know, we talk about Yom Kippur not atoning for Ben Adam L'Chaveiro issues, and this feels like the preeminent Ben Adam L'Chaveiro thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you hurt the person who you love most in the world, then that's something that is very hard to go back on, and that's not really something God can help you with. This is the person who you love and you need to take care of, and that is your responsibility. And so I feel like it is such a beautiful description that Yom Kippur cannot atone for it. It's especially interesting because you can't have sex on Yom Kippur. So
you really have to think about it on that day.
You definitely have to think about it, because it really is sort of demonstrating how central sex is.
And one thing that just popped into my head about Yom Kippur is there's so much on Yom Kippur, if anybody ever says the Tefillah Zaka about seminal emissions.
I was hoping you would not mention Tefillah Zaka.
In this context? No, but it's amazing because so much is about this anxiety about men's sexuality and seminal emissions. People write little vidui booklets, and it's all geared towards men. And you're doing vidui because I looked at women, and I had sexual thoughts, and I had seminal emissions. And here he's saying, you know what you're going to pay for in Yom Kippur? That you didn't have sex with your wife. And that, I think, again, is just so powerful. And I got to say to both of you, thank you so much, because I've been teaching this text for a long time, but I don't think I came close to being able to articulate the power of it as the two of you did. So got to bring you in next time I teach it to my students. So thank you.
If you have questions for the show, you can submit them anonymously at www.thejoyoftext.org. The Joy of Text is produced by Jewish Public Media, which is supported in part by a grant from Next and Natan. This episode was recorded by Mike Hurst and edited by David Zvi Kalman. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or with any podcast app. My name is Maharat Ramey Smith. Thank you so much for listening.